Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As you, you know, get up further into your career, I mean, you've got to adapt and you've got to change the way that you do it. I probably feel better than I've ever felt, you know, because I've figured out what works best for me at this point in my life. You know, I feel like I'm in a really good spot in terms of all those things that help you recover as quickly as possible and allow you to train as hard as you can.
Matt Ryan sounding a little bit like another quarterback that we know. Age 34, Matt Ryan. Now a longtime veteran in the NFL. And are we reaching peak Matt Ryan at age 34? Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We are 19 days away from Falcons training camp. And we're asking you this morning to talk a little bit about Matt Ryan, about number two, and about whether or not we're reaching peak Matt Ryan, what you expect this year. And whether or not the Falcons are going to have to, or how far they are actually, from having to think about moving on from Matt Ryan. Not that that we're not going to reach peak Matt Ryan, because Hugh, if he has all of the things that are around him that are necessary for success this season, he could have a 5,000-yard, 40-touchdown year.
Oh, no question about that. But I think the way that you're saying it is not not the way that I was trying to present it. You know, John, it's more so that Ryan has had a great career. Matt Ryan has had a tremendous career. And Matt Ryan has been one of the most durable quarterbacks in the game. And, you know, when you look at the roster for the Atlanta Falcons, they only carry two quarterbacks at a time. They only carry two. And Matt Ryan has been the guy that week in and week out, he's been there. He's been on the center for every snap the last, what, three or four seasons that I've been here in Atlanta. And this is the thing. Matt Ryan's 34 years old. And at some point, you know, Matt Ryan's going to want to retire. He's going to want to move on or whatever. The reality of it, his skills are going to diminish. So my question really was, okay, when do you start looking for Matt Ryan's heir apparent? And what I mean by that is somebody who you could bring in and start to groom under Matt Ryan so that there's a seamless transition. That's what you really want in NFL. Because you look at Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub's another older guy that when you look at the money that he's being paid to be a backup quarterback, he's making a pretty good living. But I don't think that the Falcons look at Matt Schaub as the future of their franchise. So that's what I'm kind of looking at right now, John. And that was the reason why I presented the question. Not saying that Matt Ryan's job is in trouble or that they're going to move on from Matt Ryan, because I think Matt Ryan is one of those guys that – he deserves to be an Atlanta Falcon to be. I think that's the kind of work that he's put in so far in his career. But the reality is this. You have to move on at some point. Aaron Rodgers to supplant Brett Favre. And it took a while for that to happen. And so much so that Brett Favre bucked the system. But at some point, you're going to have to move on. And in order to keep this train going and to try to keep this team relevant and keep them in the playoff contention every year, you have to start thinking about who's going to be the backup. You saw him do it in New England. It didn't work out the way that they wanted to. Jimmy Garoppolo was that guy. He was the guy that was going to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. Didn't work out that way. Tom Brady, you know, is still there. They don't have a backup quarterback. But you have to, at some point, you're going to have to start looking at the future without Matt Ryan. And my question is, when do you start doing that? Is that next year when you look at some of the young quarterbacks that are coming out? Just for example, like Jake Fromm. Now, I know that Jake Fromm on some people's list right now as it's constructed. You know, we're not even nowhere close to the draft. But they haven't been a high number one draft pick. And, you know, that might not be the case. But when do you start looking down at the crop of these young quarterbacks that are coming out and you saying, okay, this is going to be the guy that's going to, you know, that Matt Ryan's going to play behind Matt Ryan, learn the system, and we're going to start grooming him to take over when Matt Ryan does decide to retire.
Right. That's what I was actually kind of trying to set up for you by saying, okay, so you're peak Matt Ryan, and he could have a big year if everything falls right today. All right, so, you know, you're not thinking about the, you know, what do you have to do to replace Matt Ryan, because you have three or four more years of Matt Ryan. But you know, if you're at peak Ryan, we all know that, see, the NFL works this way, and you know this better than anybody. You played the game for 10 years. You were a three-time All-Pro. The great GMs are able to get, and I'm not saying we get rid of Matt Ryan, just understand what we're talking about here. The great GMs can see where a player is peaking because it's sort of like a roller coaster. You go up that hill, you get to the top, and when you peak, that drop-off is fast.
Yeah.
It's not a slow drop-off and a decline over a period of time. You peak, and then you're done. And so at some point, the Falcons are going to have to, in the next, I don't know that they have to do it. They certainly didn't have to do it this year. I'm not sure that they have to do it next year, but I think by 2021, they're going to have to draft a quarterback because Kurt Beckert's a nice player. They like him a lot, but he's not the future. Matt Schaub's certainly in the future. He's, you know, an old guy. And
yeah,
so,
I forgot Kurt Beckert was here.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they like Beckert, but he's not going to be, the kind of guy. But in a couple of years, I think yes. I mean, you know, you're going to have to find the guy that you can begin to groom.
Yeah. Matt Ryan's the face of your franchise. No question about that. Him and Julio. I think it's a shared thing. But at some point, even with Julio, there's going to start to be a little bit of a decline. It's natural. And, you know, those guys might play for 4 to 5 more years. But at some point, you're going to have to transition. And I know Calvin Ridley is probably going to be that guy that's going to step in and be the heir apparent to Julio in a sense. But at the quarterback position, like, I think it's better, just as a former player, I think it's always better to have somebody that you've had in the system for at least a couple of seasons and allow them to take over that way as opposed to force-feeding them all in one season and then trying to throw them out there and learn on the fly. There's not a whole lot of quarterbacks, John Freaky, that thrive and survive in situations like that. The only one that really comes to mind flat out that was thrown into that situation and turned that around and became a Hall of Famer is Peyton Manning. That's the only guy that I can think of. His first year, he was atrocious. He got beat up his first year.
Yes.
That second year he came back, it was a totally different guy. So that right there is an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that at some point, you're going to have to start looking to groom somebody that's going to be the heir apparent to Matt Ryan.
I think you have to groom people too. I mean, the guys that come in and have that, you know, miraculous rookie year, Dan Marino, for example, you know, that's just rare. I mean, you mentioned Manning or Trey Aikman. I mean, they struggle. But if you think about the guys that were groomed, what you can end up with is you go from Joe Montana to Steve Young, who was groomed. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, who was groomed to take over the position. Grooming seems to work better for a couple of three seasons than just throwing them into the fire.
Yeah, and listen, that by me saying grooming, that does not mean me necessarily saying Matt's going to help him usher him in to take his job. Like, because all those guys you just mentioned, that was not the case. They went kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in order to keep the franchise afloat and to keep the franchise in a good position, that at some point you're going to have to start preparing yourself for life without Matt Ryan and potentially grooming yourself for another quarterback to come in and take over when Matt's done.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen, in a couple – I think it happens by 2021. I think you have to start thinking about that in these terms now. He's 34 years old. Let's get your reaction, 404-741-0929, as always on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, which is the same number, 404-741-0929. Don's in Canton. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Don.
Morning, fellas. Listen, I got a completely different take, and I think both of y'all are wrong. The Falcons are not and will not, mark my words 100%, will not bring in somebody that will challenge Matt Ryan in his entire tenure here. And the reason I say that, they're going to end up like the Miami Dolphins with Dan Marino. They're not going to have somebody that is going to, in the time that he is here, that will challenge him, even when he's on the downside of his career. I promise you that. There's no way that they are bringing in anybody either in the first round, the second round, or the third round that is going to be good enough that will challenge Matt Ryan. Not that there's somebody that won't be able to, but they're not going to do it. I'll hang up and listen.
But you've made a point, but you didn't give us any reasons why. Is it just because of the organization? You feel like that's what they're going to do? Listen, I think the word challenge is the wrong word to use. I don't think that they're going to bring somebody in here to challenge him. I think they're going to bring somebody in here to groom to take over when he's done. Like I said, Matt Ryan, I think, is in a position with this organization that when he's retired, when he's done playing, He's just gonna he has earned the right just to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gonna be a situation where they're gonna have to force Matt Ryan out. I don't see Matt as a guy who's gonna try to hold on for as long as he possibly can and walk away from the game, you know, kicking and screaming. I think that he'll probably be one of those guys that retires at his time and, you know, move on. But as far as making sure that the organization is healthy and thriving, you have to start thinking that way. You have to. You know, I'm pretty sure that when Michael Vick was here and they felt that they had their quarterback that they were going to have for a long time and they had to go out and get Matt Ryan, they got lucky with that. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You, even for all the angst that Matt Ryan has had to endure since he's been here for whatever reasons, you know, from the transition from Michael Vick to him, you caught, like the Falcons were caught with their pants down in that situation.
For sure.
You don't want to do that again. And you got lucky. You got lucky with Matt Ryan. I mean, real talk, you got lucky with him to have a quarterback like that.
Yeah, because the one year in between him, the whole Joey Harrington year,
yeah, you got
that
lucky
didn't work
that.
Out so well.
You got lucky with that. So all I'm saying is this. In order not to have that or have a situation where they have in New York or they had in Minnesota, like to have a team with no quarterback, you don't want to be in that situation. Or Baltimore, for that matter. You know, you look at Joe Flacco and how they had to move on with him with Lamar Jackson. Lamar's not – a lot of people say he's not ready to play quarterback right now, but out of necessity, he has to play.
Right.
You want somebody in there kind of like a Matt Schaub that has a few years in the system, that knows how the system is going to be run and can come in there. And, you know, he's going to take his lumps and his bruises and everything, but you have somebody there that is a little bit further ahead of the game as opposed to having a rookie out there that you're throwing into the fire – that he's learning on the fly, and he's probably swimming. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Hugh. I think that you want to groom somebody, and I think in 2 years you're going to have to start thinking about it. Not to, you know, also, again, they like Kurt Benkert, but Matt Schaub's got an expiration date on him. He knows this. I mean, he's at the end of his career. Matt Schaub's been around a long time, and he knows that in a couple of years he's probably going to be done, and the Falcons are going to have a capable backup, not saying that Benkert couldn't be that guy, but I don't know that they look at Kurt Benkert as a long-term solution. I may be wrong. We're going to get a good long look at Kurt Benkert in this preseason this year, but I don't necessarily look at Kurt Benkert as being the heir apparent to Matt Ryan by any stretch of the imagination, if for no other reason than by the time that Matt decides to hire him, Benkert's going to be a fifth or sixth year player, presuming he's still in the NFL. Jake in Atlanta wants to jump into this. Jake, you're on with John and Hugh. We're talking about Matt Ryan and what the future of the quarterback position looks like with the Falcons. Hey, Jake.
Hey, how you fellas doing?
Good morning.
Matt Ryan is a corporate quarterback that brings the corporate dollars, and I get that. But they're not going to give another quarterback the same opportunity that they gave Matt Ryan. Meaning when they put him on the field, give him the same opportunity to play with the same players and turn them loose. When Matt Schaub first came, when he first came with Shanahan, he had two good games. And then that was a announcing saying quarterback controversy. Well, there wasn't going to be no quarterback controversy. But after that, they shut Matt Schaub down. He hadn't made no significant plays after that. Even when they put other backups in, they don't put them out there and let them run loose. They call dummy plays for him and all these little plays there because they don't want to have to show up Matt Ryan and cause a quarterback controversy. He's a quarterback. Corporate quarterback brings the corporate dollars. You can't disturb that. And if I was Arthur Blank and I had a quarterback like Matt Ryan bringing those corporate dollars, I wouldn't want to disturb that either. But at the same time, you do have to get someone in here and turn them loose and let them play because you're trying to build on the future. And I'll let you guys talk about that.
Well, I mean, Matt Ryan's a pretty great quarterback. I mean,
I think
he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I appreciate everybody that's chiming. I think people are looking at this the wrong way than the way that I presented. Not so much that you're challenging Matt. You're bringing somebody in here. You're grooming to take over for Matt. I don't think Matt's job's in jeopardy. And when I say groom another quarterback, I'm talking about strictly to keep this team in the top tier of NFL teams in the NFC. That's what I'm talking about. Not to try to take Matt Ryan's job. They gave Matt Ryan $100-some-odd million. So talking about bringing somebody in here to unseat him, we need to go ahead and stop that conversation right now because that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've paid this man. It's not about bringing somebody in to take his job. It's about bringing somebody in that you're grooming to take over for him when he's done playing.
Yeah, see, and there's a difference because I know that some people on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line are going, remember, Matt played his rookie year. He did play his rookie year. He started his rookie year. We're all up to speed with that. But he was taking over a franchise that was in disarray. Now, if that's the case, you can start a guy in his rookie year if your franchise is kind of in disarray. But if you build something, okay, and you want to continue the building, and again, this is why we talk about Aaron Rodgers from Brett Favre or, you know, Steve Young from Joe Montana. If you're able to build something, you want to continue that lineage. You know, it's one thing if you have a franchise that's in total disarray and you just bring a quarterback in to start for you. You know, for example, you could bring in Kyler Murray. He's going to start for Arizona because there's no reason not to, okay? I mean, you're going to start the rookie. And not that he's not going to have an impact on that franchise. He will. I'm just saying, though, if you want to have you want to think about in terms of continuing a pattern of success, and I'm basing this, Hugh, on my fact that I believe the Falcons are going to have a lot of success this year and next year because they're set up for it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's all we're talking about. It's one of those things where if you're a good franchise, you're always playing chess. You're not playing checkers. And what I mean by that is you're always two or three moves ahead. And the question I'm presenting is, when do the Falcons start to look at these young crop of quarterbacks that are coming out? Because I think this year there's a good group of quarterbacks coming out. I don't know about the year after that, but at some point, you're going to have to start looking at young quarterbacks. Matt Ryan's 34 years old, man, and has had virtually an injury-free career. That ain't going to last forever. I'm not wishing anything ill on him, but I'm just being real. I'm just being honest.
In his entire career in Atlanta, he's only missed two starts. That was in his second season. Hey, you can join 90 on the game Wednesday starting at 7 at Barner's Restaurant and Tavern in Smyrna, the Atlanta United Chicago Watch Party, 7 p.m. Wednesday. That's tomorrow at Barner's Restaurant and Tavern in Smyrna. Find a little NFL this morning, 19 days ahead at the start of Falcons training camp. Matt Ryan's, when do you start thinking about replacing him? And more with John and you after a CBS Sports Minute. Countdown is on to football as the Braves get set to host the Phillies. So much going on. Atlanta United back in action tomorrow night. You heard Tanisha talking about the U.S. Women's National Team today. And Peachtree around the corner. Wimbledon underway. It's a busy time of the year in and around the 4th of July. We are 19 days away from the start of Falcons training camp. 30 days from today, the Falcons will kick off against the Denver Broncos. And you and I are talking this morning about at what point do you start to consider, you know, understanding that we are in peak Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan could have a gigantic year this year.
Yeah, but we got to quit talking about not being injured, though, because some people get a little antsy about that. So yeah, we're going to quit talking about that.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Yeah, because I don't want to get blamed for nothing.
Uh-huh. And we're not trying to put the kibosh on. We're just wondering where, you know, the Falcons start to think about transitioning from Matt Ryan so that they're not forced into a decision, you know, 4 years from now. Let's say you got four good solid years left of Matt Ryan. And he'd be 38 by that time. For example, the New York Giants are sort of in that spot. I mean, they may have waited a little bit too long with Eli Manning. Now they have Daniel Jones. We'll see if he can handle it. But, I mean, Eli Manning's at the end of his career.
Yeah, it looks like that. I would venture to say that Eli probably could find new life somewhere else if he decided to go that route. But I don't know. It'll be one of those things where he had to make the decision. I think the reason why the Giants moved on from Odell Beckham Jr. after they paid him and kept Eli was because of that fact. And the fact that, you know, you just don't do your quarterback like that, man. You just don't throw the quarterback under the bus mm-hmm. like that. That's just not cool. That's just not a cool thing to do. Even though I know that quarterbacks are treated differently from the get-go. But it's just like one of those things, man. You just don't do the cat like that, man.
Well, and so you start to think about, you know, when do you begin to groom? Now, in part, you've got to get lucky a little bit, okay? For example, the Green Bay Packers got lucky. You had twice. You had a quarterback in Brett Favre that you were able to snag because the Falcons didn't realize what they were sitting on. I can't blame the Falcons at the time. I watched Brett Favre practice at Swanee. He was out of control. We all know the stories about Buckhead Brett and how he was running a you know, he was
running
amok. Yes,
he was running amok. I mean, in some places, Green Bay probably was a lifesaver for Brett. And it's unfortunate that sometimes that's how things work out, you know, and it worked out great for him. But, you know, you always have to start, especially at that position, man, you always have to start looking ahead a little bit because you don't want to get caught with your pants down when it comes to those quarterbacks.
Right, because the Falcons drafted Brett Favre to be their starter, and, you know, he was out of control. Like the first couple of years at Green Bay, he was sort of out of control. As a player, he was out of control on the field. And the Falcons were like, okay, he's got phenomenal talent, but he's out of control. And as he looked back at his career, he kind of played that way, but that was Brett. He was that riverboat gambler. Well, the Packers started to think about moving on from Brett Favre, and they were very lucky that the San Francisco 49ers, who had the number one pick the year that Aaron Rodgers was in the draft, decided that they were going to go with Alex Smith, the quarterback out of Utah, versus Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback out of Cal. And Aaron Rodgers in that draft became green room guy and started dropping. And I think he went to the Packers like at number 24. So the Packers got lucky twice, but they were able to groom Aaron Rodgers. Now, at some point, the Falcons have to start grooming another quarterback. You're not grooming Matt Schaub. Frankly, you're not grooming Kurt Benkert. And we're only asking the question, at what point do you start to do that? Let's go to Blake in Fayetteville. Hey, Blake, welcome to the show.
Blake.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I wanted to address the question as far as Hugh saying that he's curious of why people are using it as a challenge versus a grooming. What quarterback has been okay with grooming his successor, whether they were good or bad? No, they all get their feelings hurt. So there's never been a situation where they're like, oh, I'm okay with this other guy taking my position. I don't care how bad they got.
Oh, no, you make a valid point. And that's why I said that I don't expect him to do that. But as an organization, you have to make sure that your organization is healthy and thriving. You know, no quarterback is comfortable with somebody coming in and taking their job. But at the same time, the reality is it's going to happen. Just like the stories with Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. Tom Brady wouldn't let him into TB2 or whatever it was, TB12, and things of that nature. I don't expect Matt Ryan to be cool with this. But at the same time, if I'm running a company, I have to have a face of the franchise, and I would like to have him before the actual face of my franchise retires, because then you're scrambling to get a quarterback.
Alex Smith wasn't okay with that. And look what they did last year.
Alex Smith was a victim of two young quarterbacks that came in and the evolution of the NFL. But the bottom line is this: if you're not able to throw the football from the pocket, then you know it don't matter how much you run around. Colin Kaepernick is a prime example of that. No matter how much you run around, you're not going to last long. They call lightning in a bottle. San Francisco called lightning in a bottle. And then you look at his
RG3, I mean,
all of that. Yeah. But you look at the position he was in with Patrick Mahomes. Now you can't argue that one. Like Patrick Mahomes, man, come on, he was lucky to get the year
before it started, though.
Yeah, I mean, but
who could predict Patrick Mahomes going to do what he did?
Yeah, but Andy Reid did.
Andy Reid traded up for
him. Andy Reid did.
Andy was right, obviously,
and that's why you go out. Thank you for that. That's a perfect example. That's why you go out and you go get that guy, because Patrick Mahomes is everything that you want your quarterback to be in this NFL. He got a strong arm and he's mobile. He's everything that you want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not sitting here, you know, with my crazy hat on thinking that Matt Ryan's going to be cool with you drafting a quarterback. But you've given Matt Ryan $100 million. All I'm saying is this: if there's an opportunity to go out there and get one of these young quarterbacks that could potentially take over for your team 2 or 3 years from now, then why not take that? Why not go out and get that guy to be in your system for a couple years, to learn your system so that when he comes in, that the transition is almost seamless?
Yeah, you don't have to do it. Obviously, you didn't do it this year. I don't think you have to do it next year. But I think at 2021, you have to start thinking about it. And if you don't do it in 2021, you've got to do it in 2022. I mean, you just can't wait for Matt Ryan to turn 40 and suddenly go, the other thing that could happen too, right? Okay, so you can't do that. You've got to protect yourself as a franchise, and you can't have, you know, Matt Schaub is a fine backup at the moment, but Matt Schaub is not a future quarterback, and you don't want to be scrambling where you're in a position where you have to make a move in the draft that you don't want to have to make a move to. JD in Woodstock. Hey, JD.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. How are y'all?
Living the dream. What you got?
Good, man. Hey, man, I just wanted to
just wanted to say, you know, you look at all the consistent the consistent programs in the NFL, and they're teams that have the convenience of grooming NFL quarterbacks. You know, you look at Tom Brady, they just picked up Jared Stidham, and he's pretty much right behind Tom Brady on that. And I think what we're missing right now is that we finally have the convenience of a consistent quarterback in Atlanta that we can have this conversation. I'm thinking 2021 is probably the year, right with you, Freaky. And, you know, I mean, we've jumped from Chris Chandler to Mike Vick, and everybody forgets about Byron Leftwich and Joey Harrington years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kept my season tickets through those years, and that was tough to pay for. So yeah, I just wanted to enjoy the conversation that we're having, that we can actually have the convenience of grooming somebody. But I'm saying 2021, and let's go, rise up.
I think it's time we start, you know, and you want to think about it when you're doing peak Matt Ryan. You don't want to be thinking about it when, oh my God, we have to scramble, all right? You want to do it during, you start to project out a little bit about what Matt Ryan's future is going to be, and you start to think about at what point do we start to consider that we have to have somebody that can replace Matt Ryan, and that might be in as soon as a couple of years. Scott in Peachtree City. Scott, you're on with John and Hugh. Hey, Scott.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. You made a comment earlier about the Packers got lucky. You know, they didn't just get lucky that, you know, Aaron Rodgers fell in their lap. They got lucky that Aaron Rodgers was in that draft. You look at a team like the Colts. The Colts had the number one pick two times in 20 years, and it just so happened in those 2 years, Peyton Manning came out and then Andrew Luck came out. You don't want to be in a situation like, say, Tampa and the Titans, when the two best quarterbacks are Winston and Mariota. Just because you've got the position and the draft capital doesn't mean there's going to be that guy there that can be your next franchise guy. So, yeah, you've got to get real lucky that there is talent available. Or maybe you just strike gold and find somebody in a later round that you can groom and one day develops into a starter.
Right, and that's, you know, something that I think you want to do. You want to groom somebody into being a player rather than just, you know, being foisted upon, you know, because it works out sometimes and it doesn't work out sometimes. I mean, they're obviously going to be – look, nobody can argue. Like, for example, we don't know what kind of quarterback Jake Fromm is going to be in the NFL. I think he's going to be pretty good. We don't know what kind of quarterback Tua is going to be in the NFL. I think he's going to be pretty good. I do know that Trevor Lawrence is going to be lights out. I mean lights out if he stays healthy in the NFL, because he's everything you want in a quarterback. But you can't always know who the great quarterbacks are going to be. A lot of people didn't think Russell Wilson was going to be much when he was at Wisconsin. Jerome's in Atlanta. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing this morning?
Pretty good, pretty good. And I want to allude on to what Freaky just said. The year that Trevor Lawrence comes out or Jalen Fields, one of these kids, you got to strike while the iron's hot. I'm not saying or proposing a Julio Jones-type trade, but from a PR perspective, it would be a great thing. They both are from Georgia. It'll get seats in the fans in the seats. And that'll be the best way to transition from a franchise, you know, great like Matt Ryan, to a young, fun, exciting heir apparent. I don't know how they're going to get it done, but it needs to be done. And I think that's the only way that you can transition from having a guy like Matt. Because let's be real, by the time Matt retires, he's probably going to be in top 10 passing, maybe even top
five. He already is.
Yeah, he already is. He's like 12 or 11 right now. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to be an easy transition. And I don't think Matt is one of those guys that, you know, we're just going to forget about, you know, overnight. I mean, look at what happened in Miami with Marino. They're still looking for
that's what you want to get into.
Yeah, and that's basically what we're talking about. But Trevor Lawrence being here in Atlanta, that's pie in the sky. Yeah, and you talking about trading up for him? Ain't no, if Trevor Lawrence coming in the draft, man, nobody gonna.
He's
trade.
The number one pick of the 2021 draft.
Ain't nobody putting you in position to do all that.
You know, that's going to be the worst team in the NFL, 1-15. You really want to go 1-15 next season just to get Trevor Lawrence? I don't know. Somebody may. Interesting conversation though. 19 days away from camp, we'll be talking about the Falcons as they get ready to face 30 days from today, the Denver Broncos. We kick off in 30 days. Hey, next up, it's not only the Peachtree Road Race on the 4th of July, it's that hot dog eating contest, and we're asking something on our Twitter this morning that we want to ask you, okay? About hot dogs. I'll ask you that next as we continue on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs.
Or Nathan's,
what kind,
I guess.
Of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
In this case, right? You remember this one, Hugh?
Yeah, I do. This was not PC.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
Put it there. We talk about the fat kids. The body shaming.
Of course, 4th of July, welcome back to the morning show, means Peachtree Road Race, fireworks, a lot of American hoopla, and of course, hot dogs.
Barbecue,
hot dogs
parties.
Are it, and they'll have that hot dog eating contest there at Nathan's in New York, where Joey Chestnut's going to try and break his record of 74 hot dogs. I mean, and that's not really eating. I mean, they just snarf them. They don't even chew them. It's just ridiculous. But
yeah, man, I've had a chance to meet Joey Chestnut. He's done a couple wing bowls when I was in Philadelphia. I mean, it's one of the nastiest things that you could ever, you know, look at. Like, it's so nasty that, like, after you watch the meat, it makes you not want a hot dog or a chicken wing ever again in life. That's how nasty it is.
What's this 30 for 30 called again that they're going to be doing?
It's going to be between him and Kobayashi. That's been his nemesis for a long time. That has been his nemesis. And Kobayashi, you're talking about two contrasting individuals. Like, you look at Joey Chestnut, he's a little bit bigger. Kobayashi's a little dude that works out a lot, and they eat a lot. I mean, I've seen both of them in action, man. I tell you, it's one of the nastiest things that you could ever
witness. Yeah, you see Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi, it's called the good, the bad, and the hungry. And you say, they're little guys, because if you think about eating contests,
Joey,
what do you know?
Joey's not really a little guy, not compared to Kobayashi. Kobayashi's
right.
a much smaller guy.
Joey's not 400 pounds.
No, he's not. He's not that. Like, they don't look like you would assume for them to look, seeing as that all they do is eat for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like, Joey Chestnut, as a matter of fact, has lost a lot of weight because he was a little bit bigger when he first started out competitive eating. I guess since he's gotten older, he's, you know, watched what he's eating and controlled his diet or whatnot. But Kobayashi's always been a small
one of those dudes. We had him on one time, and he said, remember, it was on our show, right? The competitive, he's our athletes, you know, they're athletes. Okay. All right, whatever.
No, dude. You know what? It's funny, John, that you feel that way. I felt that way too. But when you look at, like, the technique, like, you just can't go in there and just eat, like, 75 hot dogs. They have a technique. And I think this 30 for 30 tonight is going to show you that, because I know, like, talking to Joey Chestnut, he would say that in order to chew, he would eat, like, annihilators. He would, like, put a pack of annihilators in his mouth and chew them to help him with the chewing motion. Because when you think about it, like, all that damn chewing that they're doing, your jaw gets tired, man. Like, your jaw gets tired. You have to learn how to, you know, fill your stomach up to capacity and eat like, it's a process, man. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, they would take two 1 gallon jugs of water and down it. And what they're trying to do is take their stomach and expand their stomach out so that they can hold this so they don't get full when they're doing this thing. Because, you know, you would think 74 hot dogs, you're going to get full fast, right?
Man, I eat 3 hot dogs and I'm good.
Yeah, I'm pretty much good too. So we're asking on our Twitter, in light of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest coming up on the 4th of July, what is the best condiment on a hot dog? You know, when you eat a hot dog, what do you... Now, I asked this earlier before the show, and Brian Gebhardt, the producer, and Oren Romain, technical director, both said ketchup.
Ketchup and mustard.
You put ketchup and mustard on your hot dog?
Yeah. When I go to the Braves game...
When you shake your head, did you not say ketchup, Oren? Just ketchup.
When I go to the Braves game, that's how I do it. My man Michael Collins says that he basically said ketchup does not go on hot dogs ever. And I basically told him the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Ketchup. Like, you put, like, you like the way you do, you put ketchup at the bottom of the bun, and you put the mustard on the top. So that when you bite into the dog, you have a contrast of flavors. All depends on which set of teeth hit the bun first. Like, if you're topped, well, obviously, if you got the mustard on top, the mustard, and then it dances with the ketchup, and then it's like, it's a party. In your mouth. It's a little party in your mouth.
And I eat it with just mustard, okay? Sometimes I'll put onions on it. But we're asking, you know, mustard, ketchup, slaw, or chili cheese. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? Those are the four. Now, we're only limited to four. Obviously, you can have, you know, a lot of things on your hot dog, Chicago style, you know, pickles, jalapenos.
That's a whole lot going on, man, for a hot dog.
I'll put jalapenos on my hot dogs.
That's someday. A lot. That's a lot going on. My stomach ain't trying to have that party in my stomach like that.
Jalapenos and sauerkraut?
No.
Do a little German Mexican fusion?
I'm cool.
American fusion?
I'm good. Just give me the ketchup and the mustard, the basic accoutrement. Maybe every now and then I might get a little sassy, throw some relish on that thing, but that's about it.
I don't want anything sweet on my hot dog, so I'm not gonna go with ketchup.
I might do some Grey Poupon if I'm really feeling about that life.
I could go
on the Sigma. I might put some Grey Poupon on that thing.
When I was growing up, fancy stuff. I didn't like anything on my hot dog. I just liked them plain.
No, that's a good hot dog. If you can eat it plain, that's a good hot dog. That's a good, you know, wiener.
See, now I'm getting hungry for a hot dog.
Saying it like that, it did. I know Orin the Sigma. It was weird, but that's what they call them, wieners, hot dogs, Franks. Weird.
You know, now Franks. I can't even eat hot dogs anymore. Now I have to eat. If I eat hot dogs,
you eat gourmet hot dogs, John.
No, if I eat hot dogs on the grill,
You eat kielbasas.
No, but I do like.
Bratwurst.
I do like brats a lot.
Bratwurst.
But if I eat them now, there's not in the bun anymore. It's just on a plate, and you cut it, and you know.
You know what? This is where being woke and having woke friends. This is where it really is the detriment to me. Is because when they start showing you stuff about how hot dogs and stuff are made, it'd be like, dog, really? I didn't need to see that. Thank you very much. It just changed your perspective on everything. Like, I don't need to see them making the I like steak. I don't need them seeing the process of making steak. But I have friends that was like, do you know what they put in the meat of those hot dogs?
No, I don't
care.
And
then they'll say something to the effect, the FDA says that there's a 2-rodent limit that drops into the vat that they allow. Right? Oh, man, go on with that, man. I don't know, man. Come on. Or they'll show you videos of stuff. Man, go on with that, man. Stop it. Dang it, you woke friends. My woke friends are spoiling my eating for me. Dang it. But I'm going to still eat that hot dog, though.
I'm still eating the hot dog.
If I go to the ballpark, I'm going to get a hot dog. There's just certain things.
Yeah, dogs are good, man. You know, we see all sorts of stuff. Melly Mel saying mustard, grilled onions, sauerkraut, little cheese. Seeing some people talk on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line about mayo. I have never thought about mayo on a hot dog. Ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise. Don't knock it until you try it.
I did not know. I am like the only African-American that really likes mayo. I did not know that a lot of African-American individuals don't like mayo. I eat mayo. I grew up eating mayo on my sandwiches. And when I would do it, people were like, oh, you're just disgusting.
Mayo's great. What are you talking about?
Like, listen, that's kind of was the staple. Like, mayo, I like mayo.
I do, too.
I like mayo and
Miracle Whip.
You know what
both.
They make now? They make the secret sauce. I forgot what they call it. But in the store,
mm-hmm.
they make the secret sauce. And like the McDonald's, like ketchup, mustard, and mayo, all that stuff mixed together.
Yeah, ketchup and mayo. Yeah.
You can buy it in the store.
Yeah.
You can buy it in the store now.
No, I like mayonnaise. It's great. I've never tried it on a hot dog. I put it on my BLTs. Of course, I love a good BLT. Man, that sounds good, too. Good BLT? Mm, yeah. All right. Now I'm starting to really get hungry. Yeah, another truck driver says mayonnaise. Okay? I mean... all right, the only thing I've
barbecue never... Barbecue sauce is a good one. My man Chambers said barbecue sauce. Now, Sweet Baby Ray's on a grilled dog?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
No. Guys, bratwurst is different. You cannot put ketchup on a bratwurst. No.
You put barbecue sauce on a bratwurst.
Yeah, I mean, you put mustard on a bratwurst. That's it. You know, stone ground mustard. Anyway. Yeah, bratwurst is different than a hot dog, right? So what do you put on? You could go and vote and tell us what you think on our Twitter, at 929TheGame. Ahead of the Nathan's snarfing contest, will you watch it, Hugh?
Nah.
I'll probably watch that
30 for 30, though.
I do.
Is that tonight? Yeah, I'll probably watch that because I just want to see, you know, their life and how they, you know, go about their lives.
Today is a day of countdowns, counting down 2 days to the Peachtree Road Race, counting down to the Braves and Phillies tonight, to the beginning of NFL training camps, 19 days for the Falcons. It's also 53 days until college football kicks off. It's coming down the corner. A couple of big questions about UGA as they get ready now to start thinking about fall practice and their opener against Vanderbilt. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
That's a good, you know, weenie. Wiener.
See, now I'm getting hungry for a hot dog.
Saying it like-